Matthew 1:23. A virgin shall be with child. He shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I'd like to preach for a little bit tonight on the crisis of Christmas. Amen. The crisis of Christmas. You see, Christmas, as beautiful a story as it is, was bought at a terrible price. You and I enjoy it tonight because somebody paid that price. We're happy tonight and free because somebody paid that price. However, today there are places right here in the United States, there are places around this world that Christmas precipitates a crisis. We don't like to think of it, but nevertheless it does. Christmas precipitates a crisis. Born of a virgin? Oh, that's well and good, but it was a terrible burden to Joseph when he found out his fiancée was pregnant. And he knew, that righteous man knew, that holy man knew that he was not the father. Amen. What a crisis it precipitated. Amen. And in order to keep her from being stoned, he's going to take a shortcut, if he might. They had adopted a measure whereby to keep them from being stoned, maybe they could put her away privately. Amen. And while he thought on these things, an angel appeared and said, "Fear not." Oh, it matters not if the angel says, "Fear not," if the whole community is abuzz with gossip. It matters not if the angel says, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for the holy thing that is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." If the talk is already going on, idle tongues are already running full blast. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, it was a terrible joke. Burden to Joseph. Amen. Oh, the pressure on Joseph. And what about Mary? The pressure on Mary. What a scandal in Nazareth is being precipitated by a miracle of God. A miracle of God? A miracle of God has precipitated such a burden on Nazareth. Amen. Oh, we'd have had to live there to know. But then we live here, we know. We know the gossip that goes on behind the scenes. We know the whispers and talebearers. We know how twisted stories become today. Amen. Until when it makes rounds, it's so far from the truth, nobody would recognize it as the original fact. Amen. What a burden it was on Joseph. But the angel allayed his fears. He could square his shoulders. Amen. And brave the storm and face the fray and survive. And survive he did. Praise God. Yes. Glory to God. That other lady was in hiding. Amen. An old lady. Amen. By the name of Elizabeth. And so Mary, she leaves home. And she goes to live with Elizabeth for a while. And just as soon as she enters the door, something happened. Praise God. That helped both of them. Amen. John the Baptist leaped within the womb of Elizabeth. Praise God. Hallelujah. And what a day that was when Elizabeth and Mary both began to prophesy under the anointing of the Spirit. And somehow, some way, they knew it was going to be all right. Amen. But she couldn't hide forever. She couldn't stay gone forever. She couldn't assuage the whispers of the community forever. Her time was coming. Amen. And the prophets had said that he would be born in Bethlehem. How in the world are we going to get Mary back to Nazareth? Amen. And down to Bethlehem and her 9 months pregnant. Amen. And ready to deliver in time for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. But just in time, God had behind the scenes maneuvered things around and had a law passed that there would be a poll tax levied upon everybody, and they would have to go back to their own town of origin and be polled and taxed. Amen. And set the date for it with a deadline. And there wasn't anything that Joseph could do but saddle up his donkey, praise God, and head for Bethlehem with his wife who was about to be delivered of a child. 75 miles they traveled. Over hills and dales and dust and crooked road. Rough and mountainous terrain. Praise God. 75 miles they traveled. Amen. Day after day they traveled. Praise God. Oh, would it happen like God said? Would it fulfill the prophecy of the Old Testament? Praise God. Would they arrive in time? What kind of reception would they have in Bethlehem? As they ride into town, foot sore, saddle sore, weary. Amen. They look for a place, but the place is teeming with travelers that have come to do the same thing that they've come to do. Every hotel and motel is filled. Every bed and breakfast home is filled. There's people camping everywhere, and there's no room. You see, the couple wasn't expecting this. The reason Christmas precipitates a crisis is that so many things happen that nobody expected. It ought to be better for a king. They ought to be sweeping the floors and making the road and preparing the way. Oh, that would come later. But he had a date with destiny. They were pawns of prophecy. And we are too. Amen. You are too. Israel is too. The Arab world is too. They're all pawns of prophecy. You can't get out of it, church. You can't escape it. You'll either fall into the program on the right side or the wrong side. And you can't help it. Amen. Prophecy marches on, and we're swept on in that relentless march of prophecy. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so Joseph, as he takes every step, Mary, as she groans with her burden, amen, is keeping a date with destiny. And you must also. Amen. Keep your date with destiny. Everybody keeps a date with destiny. Every Joseph and every Mary keeps a date with destiny. Every Peter, James, and John keeps a date with destiny. But every Judas and Demas also keep a date with destiny. They also fulfill a scripture, a divine call. They sat at a different table. They draw at a different drawing. Amen. And theirs is one of doom and oblivion and judgment. Yes, you will keep your date with destiny. And I want to tell you something tonight. If you've heard the call of God, you need to make a dead run for the right side. You don't want to fall on the wrong side. You don't want to be called among those Judases and Demases of old, sons of perdition, apostates like Saul, the first king of Israel. You don't want that. No, no, no. Every one of them procrastinated too. Every one of them said, I can get back anytime I want to too. Every one of them said, I can change anytime I take an ocean too. But they found out that after a certain point, there's a line by man unseen. And it crosses every path. And it marks the boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Lost souls reject the Savior. And when it's too late, oh, they learn they crossed on sin's dark highway. The point of no return. The rich man, the opposite of Lazarus, crossed it and wound up in hell, a son of Abraham. That rich young ruler crossed it and went away sorrowful, having great possessions, and wound up in hell, a son of Abraham, having brushed past the door, and the door swung open for him. He turned around and walked away sorrowful. Because he had great possessions. Yes, yes, Christmas precipitates a crisis. Revival does too. A move of God does too. You say, oh, I'd like to see a move of God. I'd like to see a restoration, a return to apostolic power and apostolic faith and apostolic miracles. Would you be reminded that the greater the power that's manifest and the greater the light that shines, the greater is our responsibility when we put it off and procrastinate and delay and neglect our commitment to God. Crisis. Every preacher that's called of God goes through a crisis. Every preacher that leaves father, mother, houses, lands, wives, children for his name's sake goes through a crisis and puts his family through a crisis. Without exception. Amen. If we do God's will, it means we're going to have to turn our back on all the other prerogatives and all the other options and know what our priority is. You see, God won't play second fiddle in your life. God will not be second. He'll be first or none. The sooner we make up our mind that God comes first, the better off we're going to be. Until we do, we labor in the very fire. I'd rather go through the crisis of obedience than to pass through the fires of judgment anytime. I'd rather go through the crisis of obedience, which is soon over, and the glory comes after we sweat a little. Amen. But this Christmas crisis is more than sweat. It rings out blood. And blood drops. Blood of innocence drops. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, Judea. Hallelujah. 8 days later, he's circumcised. Amen. 60 days later, after Mary goes through her purification, they appear in the temple with two turtle doves. Amen. To offer to the Lord and offer their son to God and atone for him. Praise God. And what a day that is. Amen. And Simon and Anna comes out of the cobwebs, out of the woodwork, praise God. Simeon begins to prophesy and said, God showed me that I wouldn't die before I saw the Lord's Christ. Amen. I began to shout a little bit. And the old man, rickety and aged and weak, praise God, said, let my servant die in peace, for I've seen thy salvation, praise God. He hadn't done shouting till a lady prophet, praise God, comes running out of the woodwork, praise God. She's been around. She's been prophesying before. She's serving God with fasting and prayer. And now, boy, she really turns on. Hallelujah. And she begins to prophesy and preach and tell what's going on. Amen. Hallelujah. But then it comes time to go home. Amen. Simon blessed him and said, this child is set for the fall. The fall! Oh my Lord God. Surely not the fall. But yes. Amen. In Luke 2:34, the fall and the rising of many in Israel. And for a sign which shall be spoken against, surely, not Jesus. But there would come a time that all the public polls would vote him down. And they would say, in Jerusalem Post of bygone years, the polls say, amen, that it's not him. Amen. And then he said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, Mary. This boy, this baby boy, amen, will cause a sword to pierce through your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Amen. Praise God. And then Hannah prophesies again on a positive scale. Amen. She gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that look for redemption in Israel. But then, back to Nazareth. Praise God. That's what it says. When they had performed these things, that's 60 days after he was born, they moved back to Nazareth. Amen. According to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Amen. They're there for about a year or so. A little over a year. Amen. And then the wise man, traveling at night, looking at a star. Amen. And they camp in the daytime. And wait for the evening and follow a star. They question, how did the wise men from the east, amen, from the Chaldees, from Babylon, how did they know that there was going to be a Christ? Because Daniel had said there was. Amen. Daniel, who spent his whole life prophesying, his whole ministerial life was spent in Babylon. He lived and died there. Never did get to go home. And all his writings were there. But not only that, those Jews took the writings of Jeremiah with them. And Daniel read them. They had the prophets. Praise God. That's why Daniel gives us that ninth chapter. He begins to pray, knowing it's time for Israel to be restored, to go back home. Amen. 70 years is about up. He read it in the book of Jeremiah. Amen. And he begins to pray. And then God revealed to him that in 483 years, the Son of God would be killed in Jerusalem. Cut off in Jerusalem. They knew that a king was coming. The Messiah, the Prince, was coming. Praise God. And now they've seen the star. Amen. And a whole company of these priestly cast. Amen. These kingly, priestly people. We don't know how many they were. Amen. In order to be safe, there was probably a caravan of them. Amen. I know one thing. They had enough money on them in gifts to give to Jesus in pure gold. Praise God. To pay his way down into Egypt and back. Hallelujah. Wise men come from the east. Wise men still come to adore Jesus. Wise men brought their best of offerings. And wise men still give to Jesus. When you minister to the church, you're ministering to the body of Christ. When you minister to God's man among you, you're ministering to the representative's ambassador of Jesus Christ. Pardon me. Amen. I speak as a fool because I would like to eliminate myself when I say this, but you won't treat Jesus any better than you treat your preacher. Amen. Praise God. Because Jesus was a preacher and he sent preachers. Amen. Back to Nazareth. Hallelujah. The wise men finally make it into Jerusalem. Jesus, by this time, amen, is living back to Nazareth. He's already walking, already talking, saying his first words, whole sentences. Praise God. Amen. And the wise men make it into Jerusalem looking for Jesus. And they asked the wrong fellow. They asked the king. Amen. And Herod has had his own sons killed because they, he thought, was threatening his kingdom. Herod has had his own wife butchered because, amen, he thought she was conniving against him. Herod, the bloodthirsty, jealous, a devil that he was, amen, could not endure the thoughts, amen, of some pretender to the throne of getting in the minds of the people. Amen, but he changes his countenance enough to say, oh, I'd love to worship him too. Amen. Go summon the Jews and let them tell us where he's supposed to be born. If he's a king. Amen. And the wise men of Jerusalem come and said, he's supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Oh, he said to the wise men. Amen. Go seek him out and then come again and tell me so I can worship him too. What a crisis it was. But he wasn't in Bethlehem when the wise men came. And the star didn't shine over Bethlehem for the wise men. He was in Nazareth. And the wise men followed a star. Amen. That's what got them where they were. They followed a star to Nazareth. And they found him in Nazareth. Amen. And when they left, they didn't go by Jerusalem. They left another way. Amen. And that proves that he wasn't found in Bethlehem. Because there's just one way to go from Bethlehem. And that's back through Jerusalem. The ancient road is still there. Amen. And Rachel's tomb still beside it. Amen. And the roads don't change in those mountains. They couldn't have escaped Herod if they'd have come from Bethlehem. The only way they could go another way was go from Nazareth. And they could traverse Jerusalem by the horns of Hatan, amen, down through Tiberias and Galilee and Jordan and get away. Slick as a button. And Herod's watchmen couldn't catch him. Amen. Ah, yes, theologians have struggled for years with this other way, and so they lit upon a song. Amen. They had their hearts changed. That's what happened to them, and that's what the Bible meant when it said another way, but that's not what it meant. It meant another way. Another highway. Praise God. No doubt their hearts was blessed. Praise God. But that didn't do away with the crisis. When Herod saw that he was mocked of the wise men, said, if he's anywhere in the environs of Bethlehem, I'll get him. And he gave an order for his soldiers to slay every boy child. In some houses, there were probably twins. In some houses, there were two boys that were 2 years old and under. And iron-shoed men with steel swords came not to conquer an army, not to chase Rome out of town, but to kill some innocent babies, to allay Herod's fears. And they killed so many babies, they killed all the babies in the environs of Bethlehem. They killed all the babies until they got to Ramah, 10 miles north of Jerusalem. And they fulfilled another scripture spoken by the prophet. Amen. Ramah weeping for her children. And she could not be comforted, for they were not. Oh, maybe they traced him. Maybe that 60 days they rented a house in Ramah. Amen. And stayed a while they waited for the purification. Amen. Just in case they'd take care of everybody. And I'll tell you, the reason we enjoy this Christmas story so well today is because many a soul wrung out their blood. Many an innocent wrung out their blood to tell us this story. It comes like the rest of the Bible, dripping with the blood of the innocent. Praise God. Amen. The angel knew and God knew that Herod wouldn't stop there. Amen. And so the angel appeared to Joseph and said, amen, flee into Egypt. Amen. One little boy, as he drew the Christmas story, amen, he drew an airplane. And he said, what's the airplane for? He said, that's for their flight into Egypt. Because the Bible said, amen, there was a flight into Egypt. Amen. And that little boy, when he drew his picture of the Christmas story, he drew a great big fat man standing there. Amen. He said, who's that? The teacher questioned. He said, that's round John Virgin. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. But somebody went through blood, sweat, and tears. Here they are, a poor family. Amen. Or they were poor. Amen. But now they've been blessed with gifts. Amen. From all these wise men that came from far. Amen. And they've poured out their blessing upon them naturally. Hallelujah. And now the little boy Jesus is not wrapped in swaddling clothes. They can buy him some better clothes. And I think down in Gatlinburg in the biblical Christus Gardens, they were right when they said, as they pictured Jesus, the little boy, dressed in nice clothes, that we cannot but believe that they gave him every advantage possible in those early days. Amen. With those gifts that came from the East. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, how long he stayed in Egypt? Probably not very long, because Herod died in 4 B.C. Amen. And so they stayed till after he died. Amen. And then came back. Praise God. Amen. And they came back. Amen. Another crisis faced Joseph. We can't go back to Bethlehem. We can't go back to Jerusalem, because another Herod is reigning. Amen. And so they went back to Nazareth. And they fulfilled something that we don't have in our Bibles. Amen. The Bible said it was spoken by the prophets. But nowhere in the King James Bible or any other version can you find this written down. It didn't say it was written. It said it was spoken. Passed down, amen, from mouth to mouth, amen, through the ages. For he shall be called a Nazarene. Hallelujah. A Nazarene. A little boy in a carpenter's shop. Amen. Oh, praise God, but aren't you glad for what he built? The old song says he built a house for you and I to live in. Amen. I don't know whether it was because of Joseph's burdens or not. I don't know whether it was all these crises he went through or not. The heavy load that he carried before his family, friends, and neighbors. Amen. And probably the talk was still buzzing. But for some reason or other, Joseph died early in Jesus' life. Amen. And another crisis. Was it the pressure of Christmas? It might well have been. It's a heavy responsibility to have the Lord in your house. How would you feel if Jesus came to live at your house 30 years? He came to Joseph's house. The Son of God lived at his house 30 years. But wait. Wait a minute. He came into my heart 50 years ago. He's been living in my heart for 50 years. Well, I guess I ought to know how it would feel to have Jesus in my house. I've had Him in my heart, but I haven't always behaved myself like I ought to have behaved with Jesus in my heart and Jesus in my house. You see, you can't do wrong and get by. No matter how hard you may try. Amen. With Jesus at your house, He heard you when you said those words. He heard you when you made that promise. He heard you when you committed yourself. He heard you. He heard. He heard. He saw. He watched. And He's got a question. But Daddy, Mama, what about this? What about that? Mama, what about what you said? Children, listen. Brother Claudelia told about his close relative dying in London, Kentucky. And how that she'd walked out of church with conviction on her heart and rejected God. And how those little children gathered around her dying bed, she told them. She said, I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell. She died that way. Amen. They had the funeral wake. The people tried to comfort the children and said, darlings, your mother is in heaven. Oh, they said, Mama said she was going to hell. The Claudelis preached it right behind this pulpit. How his close relative died without God. And his little children heard her dying words. I'm going to hell. It don't matter what the neighbor says. It don't matter what the neighbors thinks. It don't matter what the gossip monger says. It's what does Jesus think about the choices we've made. We've had chance after chance. And the better services you have, the more powerful the meeting, the mightier the move of God, the better the chance, but the greater the responsibility. And if we in our pride set back and reject God, we precipitate a crisis in our own life so bad that hell's going to be hotter for people that had such a good chance and let it flag. Hell's going to be hotter for those that had such wonderful opportunity, saw such glorious miracles, such a mighty outstretched hand. Great Lord, hell's going to be worse for people that knew so much and preached so much. Because the better we preach, the better God anoints us. The more God tells us, the more we know. We who have become many masters shall, if we, amen, fail God, shall receive the greater condemnation. That's what James said. Be not many masters. Know ye not? They shall receive the greater condemnation. Oh, you think you've got it all figured out? You think you're smart? Well, why aren't you doing better then? You think you know how the church ought to go? You think you know how God ought to run it? Amen. You got more smarts and more wisdom than the whole church put together, but still you're dead as a hammer. If you know what you think you know, you ought to be 100 miles better than what you are. Because the more we know, the better we ought to be. The more we feel qualified to sit on the judgment seat, as it were, and tell God how to run His business, the better we ought to be ourselves. Amen. But I'm sorry to say the crisis is that we know all right. We got it all figured out all right. And we're the smartest people the world has ever known, because we live in Daniel's prophecy that said knowledge shall be increased. We live in the day when the Bible says knowledge shall be increased. And boy, haven't we got it. A computer that couldn't be bought by a tycoon with the knowledge that it's got crammed in it just 40 years ago. With all the money in the world. Amen. They couldn't have bought it and it'd have been as big as this house. Now you can buy one, amen, as big as these two books, that's got the combined knowledge of a computer of 40 years ago, amen, for a few $100. Boy, knowledge has been increased. A library in something you could hold in your hand. A library on a disc that big. Boy, knowledge has been increased. Today, we ought to be the sum total of our forefathers. We ought to be the sum total of our evangelists of bygone years. We ought to be the sum total of every leader, every reformer, every great man of God, every eloquent preacher. We ought to be the sum total of those who have gone before, praise God. We ought to be doing something with the knowledge we've got. But you know what we're doing? We're playing it out in the world. I know what your trouble is. You got a little money, and the world's calling, and you need a way to spend it. and you're bored with the ways you spent it in the past. And so you've heard the beck and call of the world. Amen. Hey, you've also heard the call of God. And every time God speaks to our heart, we're either better or we're worse. It's up to you to make a choice. God, reach down tonight, Lord, and help us, Lord, to realize in this time of Christmas what it's really about. What you're really saying to a generation. You're telling us He came the first time and that He's coming again. Because there's more scriptures that say He's coming again than said He was coming the first time. And even the spoken word was fulfilled. Yes. And Lord, Your second coming will precipitate the greatest crisis of all. A time of trouble such as there never was in the world before, nor ever shall be. What will cause that time of trouble? The second coming of Christ. And the devil's run this world so long, he's not going to give up easy. He's going to marshal his soldiers and everybody that follows his name. He's going to wring out the blood of the innocents again and wet the altar with blood and sweat and tears again. Jesus is coming again, but the devil's not going to give up easy. He's not going to give up this world that he's called his very easy. Every seal that's opened in that book as Jesus chases demons off of God's territory and delivers it to the saints, the devil's going to tear it apart as he leaves. And men are going to writhe in agony and cry for rocks and mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. The first Christmas precipitated a crisis, but the second coming will be a greater crisis. And the only safety is get under the blood. Oh, hide you in the blood. Oh, hide you in the blood. For the storms are raging high. Oh, hide you in the blood. Till the danger pass you by. Because the Bible said we're going to live in perilous times these days. Dangerous times. And boy, it's bad in most of the world. It's bad in most of this world. No matter where you go, outside the sweet confines of this land of the free, it's bad. Bad, bad, bad. Wars everywhere. Bloodshed everywhere. Amen. Factions everywhere. Torture everywhere. Famine and agony everywhere. Amen. We're blessed today, but the second coming of Jesus, amen, if we don't go in the rapture, it's going to leave us in a world torn by demons as they make their last flight into hell. They'll leave tormenting the souls of men and dragging as many as they can with them. The only safety is the blood. Come on tonight as we stand and as we sing. Amen. Come on, grab a hold of the horns of the altar and call on Jesus. Cry out to God. Say, Jesus, come to my house. Come to my heart. Come into my life.
I'll go down seven times. And the tree I'll even climb. I'll even tear the roof off, Lord, just to get to You. I'll get down on my knees at the foot of Calvary. So open me this time, Lord, I'll serve You honestly. Odyssey of believing time. Oh.